week I preached a message that begged two questions to be answered. The first was, what does God's Word say about God's Word? We learned that the Word of God has always been and will never be a time when the Word of God is not. The Word will always be. We learned that the Word of God is alive. It's effective. It's sharper than a two-edged sword or a scalpel. And it exposes sin in our life. The second question I asked was, what does your Bible say about you? We learned that what your Bible looks like will make a big difference as to what your life looks like. This morning, I'm going to attempt to do something that I have never, ever seen done before in all my life. This morning, I'm going to try and show each of you who have gathered here how a miracle from God can be seen. Anybody ever seen that done before? I'm going to attempt. Now, I mean, you've heard the old saying, you can draw a horse to water, you cannot make him drink. That's exactly right. Now, this is very important. As many of you, I've heard many people say many times, if I could just see a miracle from God, I would believe him. If I could just see a miracle from God, if he would just show me a miracle, I'd believe, or I'd start serving him the way I ought to serve him. Let's read Acts chapter 9. And then I'm going to pose that question again about the miracle. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so if he found any who belonged to the way, either men or women, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he traveled, he was nearing Damascus. A light from heaven suddenly flashed around about him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he said. "I am Jesus, whom you persecute," he replied. "But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound but seeing no one. Then Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. He was unable to see for 3 days, and he did not eat, nor did he drink. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias, here am I, Lord," he said. "Get up, go to the street called Straight," the Lord said to him, "to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." Now, listen to Ananias' response. "Lord, Lord, who, Lord?" Ananias answered, "I've heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority here from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentile kings and the sons of Israel. I will certainly show him how much he must suffer for my name." So Ananias left and entered the house. Then he placed his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for days. Now, after about 4 or 5 years, he slowly started proclaiming Jesus in the synagogue. Is that what your version says? That slowly he decided, well, I'll tell people the truth about this Jesus. My scripture says this morning, immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues, and this is what he proclaimed. He is the Son of God. What a transformation. From being a Christian persecutor to a demon slayer. From a Jesus hater to a Jesus proclaimer. Oh, what a change we just saw take place. How in the world? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Once again, we ask you to, Lord, please be with us. We need your Holy Spirit this morning to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. God, we want to understand this scripture because there's a lot here that isn't understandable. You did something here, and Lord, we want to understand it. So please, God, open our eyes. Lord, open our hearts. God, help us to be receptive to your word, not my words. Lord, these are your words that you gave me. I can't lay claim to any of them. Lord, so we pray that you'd be heard and you'd be listened to this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. The first thing I want y'all to see here this morning, church, is this. Paul did nothing to deserve this miracle. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I've talked to people from time to time about Jesus, and I've explained to them the road to Damascus miracle, I mean, there's not a preacher in the world who probably hasn't heard what I heard, and this is what I heard. If I could just experience a miracle like Paul did, if I could experience a road to Damascus experience, if Jesus would blind me and reveal himself to me in such a way that he did Paul, then I would believe, then I would serve, then I would follow him, then I would do what God has called me to do. Would you? Would you really? This morning, the second thing I want to say is this. As we look at this overall scripture, as we look through the first few verses, we see something. First thing we see is this. Seeing is believing. Right? Seeing is believing. We hear that all the time. I engage my atheist friends from time to time, and that's what they say. And if I can see it, I'll believe it. Now, my response to them, Brother Earl, most of the time is, I don't understand how you can't see it to believe it. But they choose not to. So the second thing is this. Seeing is believing. As I've stated numerous occasions about this salvation of experience with Saul that we just saw take place with Saul, it's very unusual. As I look through Scripture, I've only seen this, and I said this the other night in Wednesday night class, I've only seen this happen two times in Scripture. This time with Saul and another time with Abraham. It's very unusual what God has done, but God did it. God can do it because God's God. Amen? He can do what he wants to do. Listen, and this is why. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 3 says, when God sent Samuel to anoint the new king, which was David, he went and Samuel looked at all of his other brothers. God said, no, that's not him. That's not him. That's not him. Do you have any sons? He said, yeah, I have one more. He's out there watching the sheep. He said, call for him. That's him. You see, God does something very unusual, church. He says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 3, man does not see what the Lord sees. For man sees what is visible, but the Lord sees what is in the heart. I wouldn't have chosen Saul. There's no way in the world I would have chosen Saul. But God did. God saw something. What happened on the road to Damascus that day was God looked past the outward appearance of Saul and was looking directly at his heart. Saul, unlike the high priest there, what was doing, he really thought he was doing the will of God by persecuting Christians. God saw Saul's heart and said, I can use him. He would have been the very last person who Christians would have thought God would use. But God saw him as his first choice to to bring the message of to the Gentile nations. Now, church, listen. Even Ananias, in verse 13, I paused and I really emphasized that. Ananias said, oh, listen, I've heard of this guy. He's a persecutor. He's not, God, surely you're not, he's not the one you want me to go talk to. God sees things that we don't see. God knows things we don't know. I wish at times that we could see the human heart, amen? But God sees the human heart. Church, why did Saul believe? Why is it that he believed? Because he had a personal experience with Jesus. You might be sitting there this morning saying, that's what I want. I want a personal experience with Jesus. And then I'll believe and serve God the way Paul did. Really? That's all it would take for you to believe and to serve God? Because if that's all that it would take, then I want to prove to you that God has done more for you to believe than he did for Paul. Paul is given credit for writing the majority of the New Testament. He went on four unbelievable missionary journeys that spread the gospel throughout that known world. He lit the world on fire. At one point, the Pharisees came and says, who is this man who sets the world on fire? He's dangerous. Church, I want you to understand that God created you to be just as dangerous as he did Paul. Well, why aren't you? We have a believing problem. We have a seeing problem. We have a seeing is believing problem and a believing is seeing problem. We say we believe, but do we really? Now, I want to give petition to you this morning. If I stood here this morning and I had just walked in from outside and I said, church, we need to dismiss here in a moment because it is snowing. Now, the skeptic in every single one of you would say, well, hold on a second. I just came in from outside and it was 46 degrees or 52 degrees. There's no way it can be snowing. Now, I'm telling you, it's snowing. It's really snowing. And it really would be snowing, right? Then you would say, well, hold on a second. Not only that, it was warm. The sun was out when I was, and to make matters, Kenny, listen, I watched the news last night. There was no forecast in the news for snow. As a matter of fact, there hasn't been a forecast for snow in the state of, in this part of Georgia in forever, in like 5 or 6 years. A dusting maybe, but snow, Brother Kyle's crazy. You see, we've just rationalized. Even though I'm telling you, it's 6 inches deep out there, and it would be, there's no way. Why? Because seeing's believing. And believing is seeing. Listen. But then you walk outside and see the snow falling. Would you believe me then? Or would you continue to believe that what you saw wasn't true? Church, seeing is believing, so I want you to see what God has done and is doing that you might see and believe in him. Well, I'm not lost. No, you're not lost. But is your believing motivating you to do what God created you to do? Look at your actions. Is your believing motivating you to do what God has called you to do? Now, what's he doing? What can we look at? Now, church, you have something. You have many things that Paul didn't have. Paul had a road to Damascus experience. That's great. That's wonderful. But there's many things that you have that Paul didn't have. You have a complete copy of God's Word. Do you remember from last week from the Word of God, we saw that the Word of God is alive? It's alive. There is not one piece of Scripture that each and every one of you cannot dissect with modern-day technology. You can find the Greek, the Hebrew words. You can find the original meaning. You can look at it in about 1,700, oh, I'm just exaggerating there, you know, 20 different versions. You can lay them side by side. You can see, you can type a Scripture in, in a search engine, and it'll give you parallel scriptures that support the scripture you're looking at. We live in a day of technology that Paul didn't live in. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you saying here? Paul could have had an excuse. And we're gonna ponder that here in a few seconds. But he believed. Do you realize that the miracle that you're asking for, oh God, if I could just see a miracle from you, that the miracles in all the Bible combine together, lumped together, that produce salvation for man is nothing compared to what the Word of God has done to save the lost world. You want a miracle? You're holding a miracle in your hand. The written Word of God written to you. Sad fact is just as I explained last week, most of you don't even after last week's message, you didn't spend time in God's Word. You didn't feast in God's Word. You didn't read those 66 love letters that he wrote specifically to you. That's how you experience a miracle. You spend time with the miracle maker. Amen? Well, there's something else. At the same time of Paul's conversion, there were hundreds, maybe thousands of believers scattered across the regions. We could say thousands maybe, witnessing for Jesus. But today, the day that we live in, today there are millions upon millions of Christians letting their light shine in the dark world for everyone to see. Or are they? Millions. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're saying. Jesus, one man, Son of God, came to this earth. When Paul was here, before Paul died, before he was before his head was taken, there might have been hundreds, thousands of Christians from this one man, Jesus. The day that we live in, Mr. White, there's millions. Millions. If Jesus wasn't who he said he was, it should have died by now. Even the Pharisees said this, we'll kill him and this movement will die. But it hasn't. Why is that? Because it's all about the miracle maker. The miracle himself generated a miracle, and we're products of that. Millions upon millions upon millions of Christians. We've studied that in the book of Revelation. When John looked and there was an untold number, he couldn't count the number of people who were standing before the throne of God. Countless millions. Are you one of those? Has there been a point in time where seeing is believing and believing has brought about seeing? We have something else that Paul didn't have. We have something else. Listen, you have the church. As we close the book of Acts, the church is still evolving. It hasn't met the place where it is today. And listen, the church is still evolving. I don't like the way the direction that it's evolving too, but the church is still evolving. But we have a church, the bride of Christ, to look at and to believe. We in the South are really without excuse. Some of us drove by three or four churches to get to this one. Do you know that you're here for a reason this morning? You are here for a reason. You're here to hear a word from God. And you're here to hear a word to God from God that'll change you. Not that you can put in your pocket and store it. Listen, it is to change you this morning. Church, seeing is believing. And for the life of me, I can't understand how in the world people can see so many evidences of God and still not to choose to accept Him and to serve Him. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I think I may know why so many are deceived. You see, seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. Y'all get that? Seeing is believing, but when you believe, you start to see things you've never seen in all your life. Now, what are you talking about, Brother Kyle? You're confusing me. Believing is seeing. What happened to Saul when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus? What is it that happened to him? He heard a voice, the voice of Jesus, acknowledged him as Savior. He became blind for 3 days. he was so spiritually torn up and torn out of frame for 3 days that he neither ate nor drank. What was he doing? He was doing a lot of things that you and I do. Brother Kyle said it was snowing outside. It was 46 degrees when we came in, and forecast hadn't been calling for snow. They hadn't called for snow in years down here. He was speculating. Did I really hear what I thought I heard? Was that really God? For 3 days, Ricky, he was torn out of the frame. Couldn't eat, couldn't drink. Couldn't do anything. Not a thing. But ponder what had taken place. Then God did something very unusual with him again. He sent Ananias to pray over Saul. He gave Paul a vision that this man was coming. And then he came to open his eyes. When God revealed himself to Paul and opened his eyes, he not only could see, but he believed. He believed. Did you see the transition? Seeing is believing, and believing is seeing. He now believed with all his heart. Scripture tells us that Paul got up, got something to eat, got strength, and joined the other disciples. He didn't sit down and ponder anymore, did he? He saw. And once he saw, he put feet to his words and what was in his mind, did he not? He did. Listen, he went to see the other disciples in Damascus, and Scripture tells us immediately began proclaiming Jesus is the Son of God. What a transformation. Why didn't that happen to you? Well, Brother Kyle, I didn't see a miracle. I didn't experience God the way he did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Are you crazy, man? I wasn't walking down to the streets of Savannah one day and a light appeared to me and blinded me and had me in a state of confusion for 3 days. Then God sent somebody and opened my eye. Listen, that didn't happen to me. You're right, that didn't happen to you. What happened to you was even greater. You're delusional, Brother Kyle. If I could see that, I'd believe. You've seen greater. You've seen greater. Church, seeing is believing. I get that. You know, that's how we're wired. But God has made himself seen, and yet you live as if you don't believe. Church, believing is seeing. And once you have seen, you can only speculate about what you've seen for so long before you either decide what you have seen is just a coincidence or it was a miracle from God to draw you to himself. And that's what we do. Well, you know, that happened, and it was really freaky. It was unusual, but that was just a coincidence. That wasn't God. You've decided amongst yourself that it wasn't God. God was not doing a miracle just for you. It was a coincidence. It was a man-made coincidence. Church, how often do we do that? More often than you think, I promise. So let me show you a miracle that you see every day, yet won't believe. Let me show you something that you believe happens every day, yet you will not see the miracle is from God. Now, I've used this illustration before, but listen, it's a powerful illustration. If I had a seed in my hand, a pumpkin seed, pumpkin seed's about the size of my finger right here. You take that dry pumpkin seed, and this is really amazing. You dig a hole about this deep, and you put the pumpkin seed in the ground, and you cover it up. That's it. That's it. You leave it in the ground. You can water it if you want to, can't you, Mr. Taylor? You can water it if you want to, and a lot of us, we get anxious. We want that dude to, you know, we want to see some, so we'll get out there and water it a little bit. But you don't even have to do that. All you have to do is take a pumpkin seed and put it in the ground. That's it. Cover it up and leave it alone. Rains will come in their time, and something amazing happens. That seed gets wet, and it mixes with the dirt. Water. Water, that's it. Mixes with the dirt. And then after a week or so or 2 weeks, something even more amazing happens. A plant comes out of that seed that's just in the dirt and water. That's it. And something even more amazing than that happens. From that little teeny-tiny seed, vines will grow from here to Everett. And listen, something even more amazing happens. From that little teeny-tiny seed, that little seed, ginormous pumpkins grow. I don't know what you call that. I call it a miracle. From a seed to a pumpkin, and all you have to do is spit on the ground and water it? That's God. Hey, listen, let's take that seed a little further. We're going, you know, you take a man's seed and a woman's egg, and you put the two together. And you mean to tell me that after 9 months, a baby comes out? That doesn't make sense. It doesn't. It is God. God is a miracle maker in our presence every single day. Oh, it's just a coincidence. Is it just a coincidence? Listen, I've got more. Look at the earth. Look at the earth. If the earth was a few more miles closer to the sun, we would burn up. If we were a few miles further away from the sun, we would freeze to death. That is a miracle. An absolute miracle. Brother Kyle, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I serve a God who is in the miracle-making business. Well, Brother Kyle, give me another one. Look at the frailty of the wings of a bird or a butterfly, yet it can fly. Have you ever looked at the bird, a dead bird, because you can't catch a live bird? I've tried. And you've picked that thing up. Listen, if y'all ever do that, wash your hands afterwards, all right? And look at how frail the wings are. I mean, the bone structure is just, I mean, it's so frail. But that bird, when it finally gets of age, Kim, it can spread its wings out of the nest and fly and soar. How in the world is that possible? It's a miracle from God. Do you know, I've never been at McDonald's and sat down with my quarter pounder with cheese and medium fries, because I don't want to get fat. I, you know, medium fries and a small Coke. They always try to tempt you when you go in there. Ricky, would you like to supersize that? Absolutely not. This is amazing, Colin. This is another miracle. I've never been sitting down at the booth eating my value meal and a bird fly up, you know, and sit down beside me with his value meal. There's never been a time. I've never been to the old-time country buffet and sat down and, you know, with my plate, and they got fat back there, Mr. White. Woo-hoo! And sat down and you know, a bird came and sat down beside me and said, "How you doing, sir? You know, did you get any corn?" No. Do you know why? Because God feeds them. He feeds them. God feeds the birds. He feeds you as well. Brother Kyle, I'm not getting it. Listen. Look at how each leaf is on a tree. And how they look the same, yet at a closer look shows how unique each leaf truly is. You mean to tell me that if you drive through the neighborhood that I live in, and those people, they cut some beautiful trees down and left some ugly ones. One of my least favorite trees in all the world is a gumball tree. Me and God are going to have some conversation about the mosquitoes and the sand gnats down here in the gumball trees. I don't like the gumball trees. You hit them with a lawnmower and they launch like a golf ball. Don't like them. You step at a different distance, Tony, and you look at the leaves and, well, they look, you know, the same. You take two leaves off at random and you stick them under a microscope and they're totally different. How is that? Miracle from God. It's an absolute miracle from God. Listen, I could go on and on and on and on. Listen, I want you to understand something. I'm going to give you one more. If I could just see a miracle, I'd believe and I'd start serving God the way I ought to. You are a miracle. You are a miracle. You ought to be able to look in your mirror every single day and see the hand of God, especially you as Christians, because you realize what God did for you. When you look at yourself in the mirror and you know how miserable you are, you know the depths of love that God had to reach down to reach you, to grab you from the depravity of hell. You know exactly what He did, and He did it willingly for you. If it would have only been you, it would have been you alone. He loved you that much. Listen, you are a blob of flesh walking around. Watch this. Watch this. This is a miracle. Brother Kyle's gone crazy. No, listen. You know what just took place? Angie, you know what just took place? I stood there in a thought process. I said, hand, lift up in the air. It was just a thought. And my hand, guess what my hand did? It lifted up in the air. And I said, fingers, move. And my fingers moved. Well, that's just your mind. Listen, it went from here through here and up here, and it did exactly what I told it to do. And it was a mind process. It's a mind game. No, it's not. It's a miracle from God. Listen, how in the world do my legs carry my body weight around? How in the world can I run and leap and jump? It is a miracle from God. In essence, listen, when we break our molecular structure down, we're nothing but a handful of dirt. But we can walk and talk and communicate. We can love. We can show emotion. We can show hate. How in the world is that possible? You are a miracle. Church, my question to you is this. How much more are you going to have to see before you believe? I mean, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. God reveals Himself through His creation. Every single day He cries out to you. How much more are you going to have to see before you believe? How much more are you going to have to believe before you see God? Jesus said to Thomas the doubter, church, this is for you, because our churches are full of people who say they don't doubt, but our actions or lack of action show. They prove to the world that we doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. So listen, Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here and observe my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be an unbeliever, but a believer. Thomas responded to Him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Those that believe without seeing are blessed. Church, right now, will you believe in Jesus and serve Him? Will you believe in Jesus and serve Him? I'm not talking about half-heartedly. I'm talking wholeheartedly. I'm not talking about reluctantly making yourself come to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I'm talking about joyfully, can't wait to get to the house of God, to be with the people of God, to hear a fresh word from God. Will you serve Him? Church, you are a miracle. You have been waiting to see that you might believe. You are a miracle that you've been waiting to see that you might believe. Open your eyes. God is all around us. Praise God. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, let not our words count of anything any longer, but let our actions prove to you that we are who we say we are. This is your altar. This is your time of invitation, God. I pray that you would bring your people to your knee, their knees, that they might confess to you what you already know. In Jesus' name I do pray, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Do you need to come down to this altar? It's open for you.